much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Our Father, who art in heaven. Seriously? What the actual f***?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I just realized my mic was nowhere near you when I was interviewing you.
Because you're a stoner. Because you're the biggest stoner in the world. How do you let this guy out of the studio, really?
Bravo! Bravo! If I wasn't driving, I'd give you a standing ovation. I almost crashed my car. Well played. Bravo! Good work, everybody. Take the rest of the day.
Our job is weird, but it's also boring.
Or sweetgains.com.
And now...
I gotta tell you something. I like being racist.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:37. It's Tuesday, the 28th of August.
The president is on the phone. Enrique?
Hold on a second. We just got to get the president of Mexico on the phone here. Just take a second.
Okay. I didn't realize we were doing that.
You can hook him up. Mm-hmm. You tell me when.
Just try to get him on the speakerphone here. Just stand by.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's a big thing. A lot of people waiting.
Yeah, a lot of people are waiting. You just get this thing hooked up. We can have a conversation.
How many pictures do these guys need of this?
I don't know. It's just a guy at a desk with a phone.
Right.
You want to put that on this phone, please?
By the way,
hello.
This is every person ever tried to set up a speakerphone.
Oh, agreed.
Ever.
Be helpful.
It would be very helpful.
I think you're right about the photos, Kevin.
Right? How many? I mean, they got 1,000 of this one.
President yeah. Trump.
Oh, wait, here he comes.
Thank you.
Oh, there we go.
All right.
Kevin, I know you don't watch the news. I can't remember why. Why is it you don't watch the news?
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
That's right. But tell me you saw the mashups yesterday of that with the Veep theme and that with the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme.
Oh my gosh. Love it.
It's great. And it's no fault of the president's. Like I said, that's everybody ever trying to set up a speakerphone call. It just is almost impossible. You're just sitting there just waiting for anyone to help.
It is something that we do a lot as a society, and none of us can do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is odd.
I mean, even our boss, how many meetings have we been in where they've tried to thread somebody else into the call?
Yeah, we always gamble on it. Is he going to be able to do it? Nope.
Or are we going to lose everybody?
Right.
Everybody on the line.
It's not a possible thing to do.
No.
And I don't know why. Stop trying it.
And then I saw the guy who runs, you know, from out of frame, the geek. No offense, IT guys, but, you know, you're the smartest people in the room when it comes to this sort of technology. And a guy runs over and figures out a way to make it happen. But, you know, thank God for those people.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right? So.
Imagine that guy for the president. What pressure.
Yeah.
How many has it gone through?
Of those people?
Yeah.
One a day?
Yeah.
Because no one can do it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, you know you've got another world leader on the line who's also sitting there going,
right.
What the F?
Can somebody help me?
Try to make a phone call here.
He's saying on his end.
Right. Can somebody help me? All right. I need to throw myself under the bus right now.
Oh, all right.
We've all experienced a great deal of shame in recent days. Really, this week has been the most embarrassing week for the Kevin and Bean Show in a long time, I can think. Dave, for instance, he watched the Logan Paul boxing match on YouTube.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, he told us that, secret time.
By the way, it's only Monday. Yesterday was only Monday.
Yeah, I'm concerned.
Right. We found out yesterday that Allie had no idea what a television antenna looked like.
Wow.
And that was a shameful moment.
I'm embarrassed.
That's what I'm saying. Dave
right.
was embarrassed.
Okay. Right. Okay.
You were embarrassed?
I get
okay.
it.
Kevin yesterday had to hear what we hear all the time, which is him do an interview when we played back the tape of his questions to Matthew Perry and Lisa Kudrow.
Mm-hmm.
And as you heard those, Kevin, I'm sure there was shame.
Of course.
You thought,
especially
why?
Lisa Kudrow. I don't know why she was still on the phone. Yeah, right. If I'm her, I'm like, I'm only hearing half the words. I'm going to hang up and redial. Where's that guy? Can help me?
You heard that interview and you thought, how am I allowed to talk to stars?
Correct.
Because that question.
What'd you do?
I've
just come out with it.
Yeah, right? use your words, Bean.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
It's just easier if I just say it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, I have an update on the the smoke detector.
Okay.
It's still doing that. Funniest thing ever.
I was in New Orleans. You know, I'm in New Orleans most of the time and about half the time in the summer because my wife won't be here because it's too hot. Okay, we talked about that. So I was here for, I don't know, it was either 2 or 3 weeks, I can't remember, last month.
Yep.
And it was chirping all, okay? Mm-hmm. The entire time I was here, every 20 seconds, 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And we talked about all the steps that I went through with the reset button and with changing the battery. And, you know, somebody suggested you got to, you got to take it off. You got to hold it down and, like, really, you know, wind it down, get everything, make it completely dead, and then set it back up. And then people said, you got to turn the power off at the breaker. So I tried all of those things, okay? And then I thought, well, thank God I'm going back to Seattle to visit the wife. So I was gone for 2 weeks. And Kevin, you have been doing nothing but looking forward to me coming back to New Orleans
because I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah. So Saturday, I walked into the house, and the first thing I heard, and I thought, "Oh my God, I'm back in hell."
Wow, because it's so weird. It didn't fix itself while you were gone.
I know.
Usually,
right?
You just give them enough space.
Yeah.
They'll fix themselves.
Especially since it's, you know, like all modern smoke detectors, it's hardwired. So the battery is really just the backup, okay?
Right.
But it does chirp to let you know that the battery needs to be changed.
Right.
So I call the alarm company. I sat through it all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And when I go to bed at night, you know, it's chirping all night when it's already quiet. And I close all the doors to the bedroom and I listen to some music as I try to go to sleep because I just don't want to hear it anymore. And it has gotten to the point where it's starting to drive me crazy. So I called the alarm company yesterday and I said, I got this error code number 25. Is there anything you guys, do you have some sort of a hookup with a, you know, installation people or with a repair? I don't know if this is part of the alarm system because it's smoke detector, but is there anything you can do to help? And he says, well, number 25, I'm looking at it right here and it just says it's low battery. And I said, I know that's what it says, but I've changed the battery twice and I'm telling you, it's still chirping. So I set up an appointment to come out today. The guy's coming out today, okay?
Why didn't you do this day two?
That's a good question. So yesterday, I'm out at the Walgreens. Allie, following your lead in great news yesterday, buying a postcard for our little Aspen to send to in Oklahoma, little
sure.
girl with leukemia.
Yeah.
And I thought, hey, while I'm here, what's the downside in buying another 9-volt battery? Because I'm already at the drugstore and I'm going home. Why don't I get another 9-volt battery?
I mean, just in case. Those batteries do sit around a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes they're bad when you buy
Sometimes
them.
Sometimes they're bad. But I had put in two batteries that were right out of the packages.
But what are the chances? But you're there, so why not?
Why not? So I bought a 9-volt battery, and I came home, and I walked immediately upstairs to the smoke detector, and I put it in, and the goddamn thing went quiet. Detector. For a month and a half, all it needed was a new battery.
Yeah. Bean, remember when I said, what if...
Shut up, Allie.
Okay. All right.
You're a fool.
You're an idiot.
I mean, come on.
I mean, I don't know what antenna looks like,
right?
But whatever. I said, put the battery to your tongue. See if there's any juice in it. Why would I do that? No one does that. That's not how you test batteries. You idiot!
You're
God
an idiot.
Damn it.
You're a full-on idiot.
Look, I can't deny that because it's true because I suffered. I was tortured.
Yeah.
Tortured. Mm-hmm. I was going insane yeah. from hearing this thing every 20 seconds.
Idiot.
Kevin said, just sell the house. He said,
yeah. I mean, you gotta move.
There's no coming back. You just have to move.
So I put the new battery in, and then I had to call the alarm company back and go, hey, that appointment I set up an hour.
Unbelievable.
Is there any way I can just cancel?
All right, now let me ask you about this. So the first time you changed the batteries, you put in an existing battery that you had bought.
That's right.
Okay, so then you thought, what if that battery's bad? Where did you get the next battery that you replaced?
Next battery was in the cabinet in the kitchen.
Still in the cabinet, though.
See?
Tools and stuff, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean...
But not a store.
But no battery in this house can be more than 2.5 years old because that's what I bought the house. So, and those batteries are supposed to last a lot longer than that.
Yeah, but they go bad. They really do go bad way more than they should.
Apparently so. Apparently I have learned that lesson. So.
I feel like there is an upside, though.
Oh, because please tell me. I need something.
Did you not have a nice conversation with your alarm people? You now know that they're responsive. That's a new relationship, number one.
That's what Bean wants is more relationships.
Number two, you bought a can of air compressor, correct?
Yes, that was one of the... I forgot about that. That's one of the things I tried to try to blow it out in case there was just dust on the lens, and that's why it was chirping. Right?
Now you've got a can of air.
For
it to clean his computer, whatever he needs it for. He doesn't
huffing.
Have to worry about
sure,
that.
Sure, huffing. Okay.
Number three.
Okay, you're stretching, but okay.
I am number three.
God, you're dumb.
That?
Uh-huh.
But you're now going to have the best sleep of your life because there's no problem in the house anymore.
But don't you think when he crawls in bed today or tonight, he's going to think, how sure is quiet?
Yeah.
That sure did go on for 3 weeks, not counting the time I was gone.
Right.
And it was just a battery.
Yeah, he's a complete idiot. And everything I said is just to make him feel better, but he shouldn't. He should feel shame.
Nice try. Ma'am, your thoughts?
Oh, Jesus, Bean.
Okay. Right. So there you go. So now we've all had, you're right, it's only Tuesday, but we've all had an embarrassing and shameful week.
You're a miracle.
That's unreal.
We're all miracles.
I know.
Yeah.
It's incredible that we're able to get dressed and get to work in the morning and do a radio show.
All right, let's talk about what we're going to try and do today.
All right, mister, what do you think you're doing?
Tipping. Yes?
I'm
yes,
against
no.
it.
You're against it.
I am. Right. I do it frequently and well.
But you're angry?
I'm an excellent tipper.
Right.
But I think it's a broken system.
Oh.
So does Jim Jeffries.
I think it's too inconsistent and unfair. I think pay a person a salary.
All right. We'll get into that later on this morning. We have animal stories on the program today.
Yeah.
Your parents are paying you to do something that you're not doing anymore. For example, college.
I love this.
Oh, God.
I've got a letter somebody wrote to the Washington Post and said, I'm at 4 years now of my parents thinking I'm going to college, and they're getting ready to start asking when I'm graduating, and I don't know how to break it to them. And he honestly asks in the letter to the advice columnist, should I just move away and have them worry about me so that they're so relieved when I get back that they won't be mad at me for lying about 4 years of not going to college?
All right, having heard only those details, those parents are dumb. 4 years.
Four years.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Hey, can I visit you at the campus this weekend, honey?
You know what? This is a bad weekend. My fire alarm is going off, and I need to buy a battery.
I don't know if that needs to be.
An in-depth, I did a real deep dive into the Wheel O' Cheese, which
I can't
love.
Yeah. Allie's been a fan for years.
Thank
I don't know anything
you.
About it.
So
I'm
amazing.
Very excited.
So great. The world's worst bride on the program today.
Ooh. Yes. No argument.
And Petros Papadakis is on the show as well. He's talking USC and UCLA football. It's that time of year. Let's take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. Tell us the story about the fire alarm again.
Oh, I covered it.
Tell it again. Though. That was funny.
Those are the details.
We enjoyed that, though. So go ahead and tell it again.
Hey, Allie, it's a Tuesday morning, 5:55. What's happening?
Well, as most of you know, we mentioned it yesterday. Today is the day that Starbucks releases their pumpkin spice latte. People... Yeah! Are losing their minds. It's a very exciting time.
That's odd to me that people are losing their minds as much as they like it. Mm-hmm. They do know that it's come out so much earlier this year that they're going to have 2.5 months.
Right, but they haven't had one.
It?
They haven't
right.
tasted one
right.
since January.
Right.
So that's why they're losing their minds is because, like, I saw candy corn in the store yesterday, and I was just over the moon.
You're like, ugh.
I was so excited. So excited. It's this time of year, I think people love it.
Isn't it crazy that people like things?
Allie, I was watching the news on this morning, and I think Please don't quote me. I could be wrong. But I think they said they have sold over 300 million pumpkin spice Starbucks coffees worldwide.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And they're good.
We've talked about this. I'm not a pumpkin person. I don't like the taste of it. I love the smell of it. Mm-hmm. But the taste of it, not for me. But
Allie,
you know what?
Chip, pull that for me. I like the smell of it, but I don't like the taste of it. Not
all right.
Got it.
See what you did. But here's the thing. People are going to say today, oh, you're so basic. You're so white. You're putting on your Uggs and you're going to have your pumpkin spice latte. Let people be basic. Let people enjoy things. It's fine, right? It's fine.
Right. Agreed.
Granted, the East Coast is having a heat wave. But places like Montana, it's snowing. So
all of the people in Montana,
they should enjoy it.
Right.
Maybe more than the people that are sweating bullets drinking it. But just saying, I want to wish everybody a happy Pumpkin Spice Day. Also, National Bowtie Day. I see that's trending on Twitter.
National
Bowtie?
Bowtie Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paul Feig? Bowtie guy?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm trying to think who else these days is still sporting a bow tie.
Sciencey guy.
Oh, yeah, Bill Nye.
Bill Nye.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sciencey guy.
Yeah. I speak, Allie.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Remember yesterday we talked about the man that rushed the stage after the Beyonce and Jay-Z show?
Yep.
Decided he just wanted to go up there, follow them backstage, and the backup dancers were like, oh, no, you're not going to. They stopped him. The guy was released with just a citation, and it was issued for disorderly conduct. But now the police are like, oh, no, no, don't worry. We found him. The man in question, his 26-year-old Anthony Charles Thomas Maxwell. He's got four first names, so nothing good will come of this man.
Right.
But he's currently being charged with simple battery.
Battery?
Yeah.
Bean should be charged with simple battery. What did he do on the stage that was simple battery?
Probably push, flailing and pushing.
Flailing?
A kickball change, trying to keep up with the dancers. I don't know.
Okay. And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
I don't think that is correct. No.
Wrong guy?
No, wrong guy.
I wouldn't be surprised if Beyonce and Jay-Z hire backup dancers that are all like former Mossad or something. You know, that's the security team as well. Like they are ready to
spring. Black belts.
Yeah, ready to spring into action in the
event. You know all those black belt dancers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, just saying, I think they have a security bubble around.
You know
all
those Mossad dancers?
And why Mossad?
I don't know. That just seems like you have skills. You have great skills or something. Okay. Don't they always, Kevin? You know, you watch a lot of those shows about
many.
About security and the military and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Aren't the Mossad is top of the line?
It's very
Israeli
well
security,
respected.
Right?
Yes,
very well respected.
Yes.
That was my point. Yes,
but dancers.
I mean, it's not likely, but the way Allie told the story made it sound like the dancers are the ones who jumped in and protected the star.
Right, that's what some people are saying.
Right.
Okay.
And video.
And the video.
That's kind of part of it.
Sure.
Yeah. I didn't know Kevin watched a lot of movies about security. Sounds awful, Kevin. You really need to
It
break
does sound super boring, you know, situation.
And would you believe that the last Blockbuster, which is in Bend, Oregon, by the way, has come out with their own beer. They've partnered with 10 Barrel Brewing Company to bring a new beer to nostalgic cinephiles. The beer is labeled a black ale with nuances of red licorice.
Why? And how does that... That's interesting. But
the
how
only...
does that Blockbuster exist?
Yeah.
Bend is not a small town.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's in, you know, a location where it's impossible to get internet so nobody can stream so they can only rent DVDs.
Right.
Why does that one store still exist? Even the one in Alaska closed down.
Yeah, the two in Alaska closed their doors in July. So this is the only one. I don't know how...
How do they stay in business?
With beer.
Okay.
They make beer. That's smart, maybe.
Absolutely.
Best idea.
You think about it, it's Oregon, home of the microbrew. Mm-hmm. So then you combine your love of movies and renting movies with the beer. It makes perfect sense.
I like it.
It makes no sense. I don't understand it at all. Some birthdays for you. Jennifer Coolidge, Jason Priestley, Armie Hammer, Florence Welch, Shania Twain, and a man that did some serious damage to this building's bathroom, Mr. Jack Black. Happy birthday. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 622.
I'm very excited about this. I always love learning about something that I know nothing about. And I feel like I'm odd man out here because Allie apparently has been a fan of this for years. Kevin, you recently got into it, and I want to hear all about it.
I've loved cheese rolling since the first video I saw.
Cheese rolling
is a thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, the race where you carry your wife, that's in Finland. That's well known as a Finnish thing. Where is cheese rolling done?
It is in England.
Okay.
And it's the exact same hill every single time.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's been going on for over 200 years.
Is it based on some sort of historical event?
No one knows because there's no organizing body. It's like the cheese rolling Illuminati. I don't know. I went into a deep dive and I was looking for play-by-play like you can find with all other weird sports. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's at least organized and they have organizers and they have, if they broadcast it, they have play-by-play, whatever. This doesn't have that. It's just a bunch of idiots going up to the top of a hill that's way, way, way too steep to run down.
Yeah.
And then they just roll a roll of cheese down and everybody runs after it and kills themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when we did the spotlight on chess boxing recently, they were able to show where it began.
Right.
Who's the guy who started and how it grew and what the organization is and how the matches are and what the rules are and everything like that. But this is just all willy-nilly people running after cheese.
It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
I hate anything that's willy-nilly.
I know, but I think you would love this. This is basically, there's a dude with a bullhorn. This is the whole organization, a dude with a bullhorn and a wheel of cheese. And he pushes the wheel of cheese down the hill, and then he gives the signal for everybody to run after it. And there's a crowd of, I don't know, 15,000 people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, people come from all over the world to this.
After the first time they put it up on YouTube, people saw it like Allie did and I did, and they were like, I'm in.
Yeah.
And from Brazil, like from all different places.
Why didn't other countries start their own wheel of cheese celebration?
I mean, it's cheese rolling, first of all.
Okay, right? Cheese rolling.
Okay. Right.
God, have some respect.
Don't be insulting, for God's sakes, man.
Why go to England? You can just start your own cheese roll.
Because it's such an awesome thing. That's why.
Okay.
It's such an awesome thing. This is the winner from last year talking about, and this is a guy who won it 2 years in a row. So there's actually winners and losers in this.
Oh, yeah.
And if you win, what do you think you win?
The cheese?
The cheese roll.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. This is asking the winner why he was doing it.
He won it for a reason this year. Same as last year, for NKH for Arthur. He's my nephew. He's got a life-limiting disease.
Okay, so you can't really understand him very well, but his nephew has a life-limiting disease.
Oh.
So he's trying to raise money by running down a steep hill chasing cheese.
Hold on. I auctioned one of the cheeses last year. They went for £200. And I'll be cutting this one up, and it'll be going, like, some will go to Acorns Trust.
It's awesome that he's doing that and trying his best to raise money, but I don't know, Kickstarter?
Maybe.
Seems a lot safer.
How do you win? Run fastest down the hill?
Yes, it's a finish line.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. I thought if you caught the wheel of cheese, maybe you won. No, it has nothing to do with it. You just get across the finish line.
Okay.
But it's not easy to get down the hill in that speed.
Right. It's insane because it's way, way, way too steep.
Yeah.
It's like a black diamond if you're just an intermediate skier.
Yeah.
You're either going to fall head first or you're going to slide down on your butt. Those are the only two safe ways to do it.
And if you do fall and roll, ass over head, that increases your speed. I mean, in a way, that's a winning strategy, right?
Well, I guess, as long as you don't care about your body.
Right.
So I couldn't figure out exactly where it came from or how it works. So I went to National Geographic, and they had a special where they featured the cheese roll. And this is their very, very dry announcer telling us all about the cheese rolling.
Cheese rolling started about 200 years ago.
I just want to bring that up. 200 years ago. This has been going on since the 1800s.
And I would like to point out that Kevin has put more time into this than any vote he's ever cast in a single election in this country.
That's because I keep up with voting, B.
Right.
Okay. So here she is.
Cheese rolling started about 200 years ago in the English town of Brockworth. First, the competitors come together at the top of Cooper's Hill. Then someone pushes a very large wheel of cheese down the hill.
I love how she's just reading it straight like it's completely normal.
Totally a news story.
Then somebody pushes a wheel of cheese down the hill. How do you not laugh when you say that?
And after that, the competitors run after it. The cheese rolls down the hill at more than 60 kilometers per hour. The first person to arrive at the bottom wins.
All right.
What's the prize? The wheel of cheese, of course.
They take it like such a straight news story.
Yeah.
All right, so now that it got out on YouTube and people are coming from all over the world, the police step in and they say, whoa, 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 everybody. Somebody's going to get hurt. There's liability. There's lawsuits.
Down with the popo on this
right,
one.
Right, right. But they entirely stopped it for 1 year because, and this is my favorite part, they tried to find the organizers and they couldn't. The police were told there are no organizers. It's just a thing we all meet at the top of the hill and do.
Right.
It, clearly, there has to be somebody that organizes when it's happening or how or something.
I think it's just known that it's, isn't it the spring bank holiday? So it's the same time now every year. So you just meet up there.
But you think in 200 years there's no one in charge of anything?
I'm sure there's an email blast.
Right, sure. But the police couldn't find who was behind it.
Well, they're not good at their job.
Which is awesome. So somehow the cheese rolling community is able to keep themselves anonymous. Oh. And now the police don't know what to do because they can't go after the organizers.
Right.
So they go after the cheesemaker that makes the wheel of cheese.
No, sir.
Yes. And so this guy goes and interviews the cheesemaker about the police threatening all of the lawsuits of all of the people who get injured on the guy who makes the cheese. And this is him.
Last year, they came to anyone who could be deemed an organizer, us, because we make and supply the cheese. And
all right, where do you think this is going to go, Bean? Last year they came, they said, we're going to, anybody that's considered an organizer, we're going to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this guy has any liability whatsoever. He doesn't make cheese specifically for this event. He makes cheese to sell to customers, and somebody decides to use it for this event.
Agreed, but the police came to him and said that specifically. We're going to hold you responsible.
Yeah, this is the old argument about should the gun makers be responsible for how the people who bought the guns use them.
Correct.
I can't imagine where he's going with this.
Said that we would be held liable for any injuries. The biggest risk to modern life is litigation, isn't it? Mm. And that is what will stop anyone doing anything at the end of the day.
That dude said, you know what? No, I'm making a cheese roll. That dude stood up to the police.
Good for him.
And said, I'm still making the cheese, dude. Sorry.
Man. In America, the way they get around this is they refuse to issue permits. They don't allow you, even though we have freedom of assembly in this country, they just don't allow you to have more than a certain number of people in a location without prior approval.
Right.
That's how they would stop it.
And this is 15,000 people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The cops shut down traffic. They closed the road in an attempt to stop this from happening.
Come on.
And these two guys that were going to the cheese roll, I have two more clips. These two guys that were going to find the cheese rolling, they found a bus that seemed to be going in that direction, so they jumped on it.
We found a bus that's running to the hill, but
basically the cops have shut down traffic on the road, and so everybody's piling into this one double-decker bus. It's crazy. It's like it's a very international crowd. Everybody's super young and
lots of Japanese here.
There weren't only Japanese. There were Brazilians, Canadians, Spaniards, a ton of Aussies, and an envoy of Dutchmen on a special mission.
The Dutchman on a special mission had a roll of Gouda because they heard that the cheese
just
roll guy
case.
Might be in trouble.
Smart.
Right?
Brought his own cheese.
So he brought a wheel for them to use.
Nice.
So there's no organizers. It's been going on for 200 years. The police are trying to shut it down and can't.
Mm. Kevin has never known more about one topic in his life.
That is true, and I'm fine with it. And here, finally, because there's no announcers, there's no television crews, there's no anything. Here's a little play-by-play by Aussie Man. Remember him?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah, so he'll take a look at the actual video. I put it on my Twitter, at the Kevin Ryder, R-Y-D-E-R. And this is him doing play-by-play for the cheese rolling.
It's that time of year again. It's the cheese rolling championship in the UK. This guy has it perfectly under control. Yep, nah, there goes the cheese. A pack of determined kids are battling to get their hands on it. This Sheila is breaking away in the front. She's implemented a loose rag doll. I don't give a fuck about my spine and neck strategy.
I mean, just crazy, yeah, head over, yeah, heel. She's out of control 100%.
Right. Yeah, it sounds brutal.
This fella has been inspired by Tom Cruise doing his own stunts, and I think he's knocked himself out.
He was knocked out.
Do you know what day it is, mate? Any idea? Not a clue. I can hear this heel singing the Foo Fighters. Done, done, and I'm on to the next one. Done, done, and I'm on to the next one. Is that wanker there wearing Speedos? Yes. This f***ing nutcase here is the one to beat, though. Oh, there's Deadpool. I wouldn't be surprised if the Fox marketing team genuinely sent him here.
It was actually a guy in a Deadpool costume.
Awesome.
So these people dress up like the Boston Marathoners.
Yeah, not as much, but yeah, there are a few people there that
this
do it.
This bloke in the yellow is beating the cheese. Do you catch it? Do you beat it? I have no idea.
He was running past the cheese roll, and like, who? There's no rules, so... Are you supposed to stop because you're ahead of it or grab it?
Oh, no. You just want to be the first one down.
Yeah, you don't want to be offsides, Kevin. I see where you're going.
Right.
Oh, this mad bastard has also implemented the I don't give a f*** about my neck and spine strategy. His backpack decides to go solo and comes to a stop. That is a smart backpack that f***ing values its life. This here is the look of a cheese athlete who needs a knee reconstruction.
This guy's just scooting down on his butt just little by little.
He's playing it safe. He knows he can get cheese on special at the supermarket. There's no need to break any bones.
I mean, come on.
Right?
Cheese rolling.
I feel like maybe next year.
We need to go.
We need to go and cover this.
Love it.
Yes.
Bean?
You guys have fun.
You should run it.
Yes!
Glad that song's over so we can stop hearing Bean yell about apples.
I'm just saying Red Delicious is the worst apple.
Right. That's all I'm saying.
Don't at me.
Okay.
Hey, our friend Petros Papadakis joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. There's a lot of controversy about local college football, USC quarterback controversy. Not everybody's happy with that decision. Bunch of UCLA players suspended going into the opening of the season. We'll hear what he has to say coming up next hour on K-Rock. First, though, Allie, I've been very much looking forward to hearing about the worst bride in the world ever.
I mean, we all know brides that lose their minds during the process of getting married.
Yeah, we call them bridezillas.
Bridezillas. They're tough to be around. They make everything difficult. This woman, I thought, there's no way it's real because she is so out of her mind. But apparently she is.
We all doubted it.
It sounded like it was fake. Like this was some sort of a parody of a bride misbehaving badly to her own bridesmaids.
But they exaggerated too much and no one's going to believe it. Except for it's real.
It is real. It was shared on a wedding shaming group on Facebook. First of all, there's one of those.
Right? Who knew?
I mean, come on. But someone took screenshots and put them on Twitter, and that's kind of how it gained some traction. So it's a very long post. I'll leave a bunch of it out. I just want to give you some of the highlights.
Okay.
Here's how she starts.
This is from the bride herself.
The bride herself. Okay. Dear friends, comes with great sadness, and I'm announcing the cancellation of our wedding. I apologize for canceling only 4 days beforehand. Unfortunately, we've broken up due to some recent and irreparable problems. After hours of tears, mental exhaustion, even disassociation, I've come to this decision. Here's where she lets everyone know what's going to be happening in her life.
Okay.
In 1 hour after posting this status, I'm going to delete my Facebook. Social media has caused me paranoia and toxicity. I'm going to be spending these next 2 months backpacking in South America, exploring my soul, ridding myself of toxic energy brought on by my friends and family, the ones I thought I could trust the most. When I'm ready, I may make a new Facebook and add friends and family that haven't effing stabbed me in the back.
Whoa!
Before I begin this mini novel, I invite all of you, including the See You Next Tuesdays, who have ruined my marriage and life and put yourself in my shoes for once. Let me take the stage and let me voice the most painful few months of my life.
I want to know how her wedding guests ruined her life and she broke up with her fiancé over this.
Yeah,
huh?
She goes on to explain how they met, they dated. They had a child together in their early 20s, and then they saved up $15,000 for a wedding.
Okay.
But then she realized, that's not my dream wedding. My dream wedding cost $60,000.
So they waited until they could come up with that much?
No, no.
Borrowed
they
from parents?
Scaled down and just went with the $15,000 wedding because their future together is what's more important than one day ceremony?
All we asked was for a little help from our friends and family to make it happen.
Oh, they asked for help.
I'm going to put emphasis on words that she spells in all caps.
Okay.
I specifically asked for cash gifts. How could we have our wedding that we dreamed of without proper funding? Here's where it gets nuts. We'd sacrificed so much and only asked each guest to give around $1,500.
What?
$1,500?
$1,500.
Did you say every guest?
Each guest.
Holy crap.
We talked to a few people who even promised us more to make our dream wedding come true. My maid of honor, who shall not be named, pledged $5,000 along with her planning services. We tearfully thanked and accepted. My ex's family offered to contribute $3,000. So our request for $1,500 for all other guests was not effing out of the ordinary.
Wow.
Like, we made it clear. If you couldn't contribute, you weren't invited to our exclusive wedding. It's a once-in-a-lifetime party.
Oh, my God.
See, that's an easy out for me, because you want $1,500. I'm not coming.
No,
fine.
Absolutely.
No
done.
Worries.
So we sent out our RSVPs and only got 8 people who replied and sent us a check.
She had 8 people who sent her $1,500?
Unbelievable, right?
Unbelievable.
By the way, I just want to butt in and say that my wedding cost less than $1,500.
Well, yeah, you went to Vegas and got an Elvis impersonator.
We'll get to
that.
Oh,
okay.
We were effing livid. How was this supposed to happen without a little help from our friends? And to make matters worse, my ex's family took back their offer. Suddenly, more people backed out, including the See You Next Tuesday maid of honor, my best friend since childhood, my second family. To make matters worse, it was only a month before the wedding. To cancel everything would have been more than $5,000. So we've resent out our invites and asked people to donate what they could. I mean, seriously, people, what is 1,000? What is 1,500? Clearly not a lot.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
What is she talking about?
The reason she's leaving the country, by the way, is because she has no friends left in America.
Yeah. We also set up a GoFundMe. That only got us $250. At this point, we were exhausted, tired. I yelled at my ex. I became unraveled.
I'm sorry.
At this point,
she became unraveled.
Then it got worse.
Not possible.
Here's my favorite. My ex came into the room and offered me a Vegas wedding. I laughed in his face, but he was dead serious. He wanted those cheap, raggedy, filthy, whore-like Vegas weddings. I mean, what the F?
A whore-like wedding.
That's what I'm saying. Was he out of his mind? Am I some hoochie piece of effing trash, a hooker? Am I supposed to like the idea of getting married in the heart of shady gamblers, alcoholics, and the get-rich fallacy? Suddenly, my body began to shake. I entered a panic attack. I then called my maid of honor and cried my eyes out. Instead of sympathy, I was told I was asking for way too much and I should stick to the budget. I mean, no words can describe. How could someone who offered me thousands of effing dollars then deny me my promise money and then tell me to shift down my budget? She knows my effing dream was a blowout wedding. I just wanted to be a Kardashian for a day and then live my life like normal.
Just go to hell.
I called her a filthy, effing poor excuse for a friend and hung up. She then blocked me on all social media. It goes on to explain that then all of her bridesmaids turned against her.
Of course.
Her husband stayed out later and later. She suspected he might be cheating. I hope he was. Then her bridesmaids told her she was crazy and they wanted their deposit back.
Love it.
So I said, F you. I refuse to give it back until you can pay me back for emotional distress.
Oh, my God.
What?
There's then a page missing. And it disturbs me to no end because something went down, but a page is missing in all of this. But she ends up saying, I'm exhausted. I'm bone tired. My heart is the same. It's stone cold, fragmented, empty. I need to get away from this awful society. How hard could it have been to effing donate, my friends? Do I matter to you? Just effing give me my money for my wedding. Goodbye. See you in 2 months. And a friendly reminder to you, see you next Tuesdays. Don't think you own me. I'm cutting all of you snakes off. I'm living my life alone now. I only let in those I believe have good intentions. XOXO.
You got a problem, lady.
I can't wait till she goes away for 2 months.
Yes.
And then she realizes that she's a horrible human being.
Do you
think she thinks she'll realize that?
I don't know.
You can't
maybe.
Be this far up your own butt yes. and come out. You
I just,
can't.
Maybe. I like to picture her coming back to the United States and getting on the phone going, hey,
I don't know what happened there. You are not a see you next Tuesday.
Right.
You do not have to pay me effing money.
I may I have gone a little over the top. Really sorry about that.
Allie, that's astonishing.
It's,
Let's all cherish the people in our lives that aren't her, shall we?
And whore weddings.
It is 6:53.
Your parents think you're still going to college or taking tennis lessons or whatever it is. They're giving you money every week, but you're not. You're pocketing the money and you're not telling your folks. We're going to talk about that and get your calls coming up just after 7 here on the world famous K-Rock. First, though, Tuesday morning, Allie's here. What's happening?
Well, you've sold more than 12 million albums as of 2007.
I have.
4 Grammy Awards, 11 nominations on top of that. You won the Grammy for Best Comedy Album in 2015. 4 gold records, 6 platinum records in the U.S. You're one of the most beloved people in all of Hollywood. You are Weird Al Yankovic.
Yes, you are.
And you got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yesterday. Bean, were you able to see any of the footage?
Yes, I did stream it. I've only watched Al's acceptance speech. Mm-hmm. I have not gone and watched the full ceremony with the Chamber of Commerce remarks with Thomas Lennon, who spoke on Weird's behalf, mm-hmm. and Dr. Demento as well. I'm going to go back and catch up on that today. But what a wonderful event. Lots of people showed up. The star is right across the street from the TCL Chinese Theater, by the way, if you want to go by and see it. And it was just a great day for a guy who's well-deserved. I mean, 40-plus years in the business, no one has ever had a bad word to say about the man.
Yeah, I agree.
No. And yesterday was named Weird Al Yankovic Day, which is lovely. He has his own day now.
It's pretty fantastic.
Oh, but you have a bit of his speech, correct?
I do. Not the greatest sounding microphone was left out for him, but here are some of his remarks as the star was unveiled.
Please, please don't pickaxe my star, okay, guys? I mean, I know it's all the rage these days, but that's not cool. Just, you know, that's rude. Just please don't do that. Unless at some point in the future I do something unfathomably monstrous and evil, in which case, sure, fine, okay, go ahead. Yeah, makes sense. But anything short of that, please limit yourself to spitting and urinating, okay? Some class, people.
It seems fair.
Have some class. Exactly. And that hair. I mean, how does he keep his curls so defined without looking heavy? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I can't answer that.
All right. Well, maybe that was only my question watching it.
I will be going by to polish the star, not a euphemism.
Really?
Wow.
Next time I'm in town, though.
Yeah, that is a euphemism, though.
Right.
Is the thing. So John Goodman has opened up about his co-star Roseanne Barr and the cancellation of their hit ABC show, which, of course, is coming back without Roseanne. But he talks about being brokenhearted. He said, okay, it's just show business. I'm going to let it go. But I went through a period about a month where I was really depressed. I'm a depressive anyway, so any excuse that I can to lower myself, I will. But that had a great deal to do with it, more than I wanted to admit. He then goes on to say that he knows, quote, for a fact that she's not a racist.
Hmm.
Okay.
Hmm. He should tell her.
Hey, you're not a racist.
Right.
And she'll be like, yes, I am. John, what's wrong with you? Goodman also adds that she gave up her rights for the spinoff show The Conners, so it could proceed without her. He sent her an email thanking her, because obviously that couldn't have been easy for her to do.
Right.
And he never heard back, but said he understood because she was going through
because
a lot.
She's just crazy.
But here's the part that made me laugh so hard. So you know how ABC has been super mum about what's going to happen to her character?
Yes.
Right.
Channing Dungey, the head of ABC, has said, listen, we aren't showing people scripts. We can't have any of this leaking. We don't want anyone to know.
So the options are she moves away, she dies.
Something, right?
Who knows? Yeah.
Well, enter John Goodman in this interview. He tells the Times what he pictures his character doing in the show. Quote, "It's an unknown. I guess he'll be mopey and sad because his wife is dead."
John! Bong, bong. John,
all right. Well, there we have the answer. That's pretty strong.
I love John Goodman. Do you think after he realized it, or he still, until he read this morning, he's like, oh, crap.
I am sure that his phone blew up after saying that.
It just brought me joy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Brought me great joy. So this Todd Phillips standalone Joker movie.
Yeah.
It's a lot. But Alec Baldwin has now signed on to play Batman's dad. So we've got Robert De Niro, Zazie Beetz, Marc Maron, Joaquin Phoenix.
Huh.
It's quite the cast, right?
That could be good.
I have a dumb question. Mm-hmm. Have we seen Batman's dad in previous Batman movies?
Just when he gets gunned down,
yeah, just
right?
The very beginning
yeah,
episode.
Yeah.
Usually,
that's it, yeah. though. I mean, it's just you see him in the alley for one scene and that's it, right?
I think so.
I wonder if they're doing more with him because it's weird that Alec Baldwin would essentially be, there'd be a big announcement about him, that cameo, essentially, you know?
Yeah. Well, Baldwin's Master Wayne will be in the mold of a, quote, cheesy and tan businessman, a la a 1980s Donald Trump. It's like he can't get away from it.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think he wants to.
Mm. Agreed.
I think he should.
Agreed.
Good Lord. Much more coming up in just a bit, including Louis C.K.'s triumphant return to the stage last night. Just a little drop-in at the Comedy Cellar.
I'm sorry?
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
As well as Ethan Hawke not making friends with superhero movie people.
Uh-oh.
He said some stuff. Oh, no. Oh, Ethan, I'm concerned for you. We'll talk about that coming up. But for now, some birthdays. Jennifer Coolidge, Armie Hammer, Florence Welch, Shania Twain. And how did Jack Black tell you guys that he had, well, ruined the bathroom?
Well, he was on the last hour of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were all sitting in the office. And he went to the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then he walked over and he poked his head around the corner. And he said these words and only these words. You're going to need to call a plumber. And he left.
Uh-huh.
And so we all laughed. We thought that was funny. We called somebody. They went over and checked. They had to call a plumber.
Yeah, they almost tore down the building right then and there.
I mean respect.
respect
for him.
And that's what's happening.
By the way, Ali, there seems to be a write-in campaign to get you an Emmy or something for how you read that wedding bride bitch story a few
minutes ago.
Thank you.
I'm willing to play any See You Next Tuesdays in dramatic readings from now on.
All right.
Thank you.
I am not aware of Emmys being awarded for radio shows, mm-hmm. but I mean, if that happens to be the case,
thank you.
Do you deserve it? All right, here's the letter that was sent into the Washington Post advice columnist, Carolyn Hacks. Dear Carolyn, I have pretended to go to college for almost 4 years.
Oh, God.
When I actually dropped out my freshman year, I've been working as a temp since then and living off campus. My family doesn't know since I fake my grades, my account statements, and everything. None of them went to college, so it hasn't been too hard to fool them. I use the money they send me to help me afford my room and board. I know I'm going to have to come clean soon because they expect me to graduate with an engineering degree. I just don't know how to do it. They're going to freak out. They're immigrants, and me going to college was their dream. I'm actually thinking of just disappearing for a while and telling them by letter. I know that's a coward's way out.
That's a horrible way to do it.
I know it's a coward's way out, but I could come back when it's all blown over, and they'll probably be so relieved I'm back in touch that they won't disown me. Is there a better way to handle this that won't get me disowned?
100 better ways, yes.
So he has been accepting tuition money, mm-hmm. essentially, from his poor immigrant parents for 4 years and isn't in school.
Wow.
Did he ever enter, do you know?
It says here he dropped out in his freshman year.
Okay.
So, yeah, he started it, said it wasn't for me, but I'm not going to tell my parents. Probably didn't want to disappoint him. I'm sure at the time he thought it made sense. And at the time he probably thought, yeah, but when I go home for Christmas this year, I'll break it to him that it wasn't right for me, right?
Yeah, but okay, 3 months from now I'll do it.
Yeah.
So as time goes on and he starts to enjoy the money that they're sending him every month, I guess he just felt like there was no reason to burst that bubble for them because they were so proud of him going to college. So this kind of gets us on the topic of your parents are paying for something that you're not using the money for that. Whatever it is they think they're paying you for is not where that money's going.
Or in the past, they did pay for something that you weren't doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a lot of different things that you go to your parents for help with, and maybe you're not always completely honest about how the money is used. We've never done this topic before. I don't know how it's going to work out, but it is a coincidence that we saw this Washington Post article at the same time that our friend John Cho's movie came out, Searching, last weekend, which is very good, by the way. And he does a little investigation into what his where the money he's been leaving out for his daughter every week goes to, and finds out it's not what he thought.
My daughter is in a lesson with you right now.
Margot canceled her classes 6 months ago.
6 months ago. So he's leaving lessons out a $100 bill every single time for piano lessons,
yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
she had canceled.
So she took the money, and then when he says, "Hey, how are the piano lessons, honey?" She's like, "Oh, fine, Dad. Pay me again next week. No piano lessons."
Later, he finds that she was depositing $100 every week into an account.
Spoiler alert. Hey,
spoiler alert.
Kevin, you're
you just
terrible,
said that she didn't do what?
You're a terrible son.
How dare you?
I mean, let's be honest. You did nothing but a long series of breaking your folks' hearts growing up.
I mean,
is there any way that you participated in a scam like this?
I did not.
Really?
I mean, I did a lot of stuff that mm-hmm. was not great for my parents.
Right.
But not that. Mm-hmm. My parents taught me to be honest. And so I think that really stuck with me. And I was an honest kid. And if I screwed up, I'd say I screwed up. I'd admit mm-hmm. it. But I never did that. Did you, Bean?
No, I don't. Look, I have a terrible memory of my childhood, as you know, but I don't think so.
Because you blocked out taking all that money for college?
I don't think that was the case. I dropped out of college, and I told my folks about it, and it was a real bad conversation, because that's all my dad wanted me. My dad wanted me to be the first person in our family to ever go to college. You
sure.
know? So 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067. If now or in the past your parents were giving you money for something you weren't using it for. By the way, just as an exercise, you're the guy who wrote this letter to the Washington Post. What conversation do you have with your parents? How do you break the bad news?
I mean, I assume that dude spent the money.
Well, yeah, he was using it for his room and board.
So, I mean, there's only one way to handle that, and that's say, I didn't go to college. I spent your money. I'm really sorry. There's no other way. How else could you handle that?
Here's what I think I would do is I think you have to say that, and then you have to say, and I realize how deceptive it was, and I'm ashamed, and I'm embarrassed, and I'm going to do my level best to start paying you back immediately.
Right.
I'm getting a job, or I have a job, and I'm going to start sending you, even if it's $10 a week, at least I'm going to try some restitution to try to, you know, at least you're not out the money, even mm-hmm. though you're ashamed of it.
Or they could go with, hey, Mom and Dad, they just threw me out of college for no reason, and it's 2 days before graduation.
I don't think adding on to the lie,
I'm just
Kevin,
trying
is...
to look at all the angles.
No.
All right.
I have a friend that did something very similar to this. She was having some issues with her husband, and her parents said, listen, why don't you guys talk to someone? Why don't you go to therapy? And she was like, listen, we're not going to pay for therapy. That's insane. We'll work it out. Her parents said, because her father is a psychiatrist, let me pay for it for you. It's on me. We'll take the kids that night. So you guys go, you do the therapy, then you come back home. You don't have to worry about the kids. They did this for about 6 months, and they had a date night every two weeks.
Oh my God.
Where they would just go out, have wine, have a great dinner. Worked everything out, so it essentially did work. They just uh-huh. needed time alone.
So they were doing their own therapy.
Right.
But that wasn't the original
plan. So shady, right?
Wow.
Yeah, the plan wasn't take your wife to the movies.
Right.
That's not what we were looking for. All right, let's take one before the break at 1-800-520-1067. Our old friend, frequent listener and contributor Jody in Huntington Beach is on line one. Jody, welcome to the program. Always good to hear from you. Your parents gave you money for what, and you spent it for what instead?
Well, the parents were split up. So my mom was the ever helpful and successful one that gave money for senior pictures.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was the one that wasn't working and didn't have money for survival, so the money just went for, like, I don't know, food or gas or something. I never saw it.
I mean,
I'm confused. So they were giving you money for senior pictures, and you used it for what?
Well, if there was one parent that gave money for senior pictures, and the other parent spent it. It wasn't wasn't exactly me. Spending
this sounds really time. Like nothing that we were discussing at all. I mean, this is a completely different topic. And maybe you're listening to a different show.
I don't know what happened.
I think somehow we're confused.
I mean, maybe it's possible, but give our best to Big Boy.
I think that's all
right. 1-800-520-1067. Jody's the story to beat, apparently. Shouldn't be hard. We'll take your calls right after this on K-Rock.
All right.
I don't think they're hiding anything with that disclaimer at the end of the commercial, by the way. I think they want to make sure you get the information in a clear and concise way.
Mm-hmm. Just before Blink-182, let's say good morning to Hillary, and she's calling from New York. Hello, Hillary.
Hello. I'm so sorry about the 2016 election, Hillary. I voted for you, I'm sorry it didn't work out that well.
Yeah, sadly. Spelled differently, but yeah.
All right, so the topic is your parents are paying for something, but they're not getting it. You're spending the money on something else. This wasn't you. This was your brother, I understand.
It was actually my ex-boyfriend's brother, and he went to a school out of state, University of Arizona, went there for, parents paid for 5 years. We actually, I'm sorry, I'm outside because inside the music's too loud.
That's okay.
And they, he would come home during vacations, go back to school just like you would, engineering degree. We all traipsed out there for a graduation. He got violently sick. Afterwards, about a year later, when the diploma hadn't arrived yet, his mom asked me to look into it. I wasn't working at the time.
So he had made it 6 years, 5 years of school, mm-hmm. and another year afterward before his parents started catching on.
Well, they kept asking why isn't the degree, you know, where's the diploma? It hasn't, and these are intelligent people,
right.
You know, but they just wanted to believe their son so badly, I guess.
Sure.
It got to the point I had my ex-boyfriend call and pretend to be him, and you know, because they wouldn't give me the information, they just said he didn't have a degree.
Oh.
And so he had his social and everything and called, and they were like, sir, I don't know how to tell you this, but you have never received a degree from our school. You only took one semester of classes, and then you basically failed out of everything.
Oh, my God.
This is exactly like the letter that started this conversation
which I thought had to be fake because it's just too extreme.
Yeah.
Well, that person, I would have informed them, hey, just go online and buy a diploma. They're never going to know, and just say you don't like the engineering
world.
That's smart.
I see what you did.
Hillary
and I like
is
it.
Evil.
Go the extra 10%. Don't go to 90. Go 10.
You know, you go to the University of America in Samoa, and you get yourself a degree, and you're set.
You can print it right off.
What was the, I know you got to go here, Hillary, but what was your ex-boyfriend's brother doing with all that time and all that money? Just living his best life?
He's scuba dived. He lived in off-campus housing. You know, he's kind of an introvert, bought a lot of gaming type stuff.
Unbelievable. For 5 years.
Not what his parents had him buy. All right.
He figured out it was probably $100,000 worth
tuition
or better. Yeah.
You go do your lawyer stuff. We appreciate you streaming us out there, and thank you for your support, and we'll talk to you again, okay?
I love you guys. No, I listen to you every day.
Thank you, Hillary. We appreciate it very much.
1-800-520-1067. More calls on this topic when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Are listeners allowed to put us in the file, by the way, or can we only put each other in the file?
I feel like they can.
Robert says, Bean's other example after the college letter was your mom is giving you money for tennis lessons.
Oh, we all looked at each other like, really, tennis?
And she would be heartbroken to find out you weren't taking tennis lessons?
Yeah.
My mom would be disappointed if I were taking tennis lessons, says Robert. So apparently I have to go in the Mr. Bad example file
sure.
for that. All right, 1-800-520-1067. How about our man Rick North Hills? We're talking about your parents are paying for something. You're using the money for something else. Thank you for listening. Thank you for holding on, Rick. What's going on?
Well, I used to go to a Catholic school, and they require you to go to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. So my parents, instead of going to church, would drop me off with the donation envelope. And I'd basically take that money and go to Tommy's.
Tommy's Burgers?
Nice.
Yeah, Tommy Burgers.
So you would take your... Why did your parents give you money for the church?
Because you put it in the basket as it goes by.
But then why didn't they
donation.
Go with you?
They were
they
smart.
Were too tired for that.
Right? Listen, but, Rick, with everything that's come out in recent stories about the Catholic Church, I say good on you. I hope you enjoyed your burgers.
Yeah, I think you made the right choice. Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it very much. Let's try Cameron Valencia, please, line six up next. Or as Beer Mug spells it, Valenica. Valenica is where Cameron is. Cameron, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, how's it going? Valenica's great.
All right. What happened?
All right. So I had a knee surgery in grad school, and I was supposed to be taking a whole bunch of physical therapy after that. And my parents were sending me money for each visit. And instead of going to physical therapy, I just bought a whole bunch of pot and snacks.
Okay. All right. And it made you feel better.
It made me feel great.
Okay.
So it worked.
Yep, exactly.
Yes.
Same result. Thank you for the call, sir.
You're still what?
I'm wearing a knee brace to work right now.
But you're super high.
All right. That didn't end so well.
Let's go to line eight, and I'm paralyzed. Let's go to line eight. Chris is in La Mirada. He's up next on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You tell us.
So my parents would give me $20 a week for lunch in high school. And I would take that $20 a week, loan it out to people, and I would make over $1,000 every month.
Whoa.
What?
You're the school loan shark.
$20 bucks a week. So you had $80 and you would make $1,000? How?
I'd charge people a lot in interest.
Who were these people? Yeah.
Seriously.
I mean, well, it got me my first car, so I'm not complaining.
You must have been charging like 500% interest or something.
Oh, they'd give me, I'd give them the 20 and they'd give me back 50.
That's, what? I don't know what to do with this. I don't think Chris could pull this off. What are you guys?
You'd be surprised that I could pull off.
Okay.
Chris is freaking me out. All right.
Yeah, me too. This just got very sinister. All right. Let's take one more. How about John, line four, please? John's in Los Angeles. Our final call.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. So I dropped out of college in 2012, and I've somehow convinced my whole family that I've graduated from NYU, and they've paid for everything from there.
Wait, so they didn't want to go to the graduation? You just said, oh, yeah, I graduated.
I was an NYU.
Oh, you're cutting in and out. Try again.
It was just too much of a hassle. And,
yeah, it's a big hassle to go see your kid graduate from college.
Back to LA last minute, so.
I feel like this conversation started out strong and then petered out.
Well, his phone is cutting in.
His phone is bad, yeah.
Okay. I don't think we want to end on that one, right?
You want to try one more to make
sure.
It Sabrina? Okay. Sabrina, you're our final hope. Please save the segment. Thank you.
Oh, no.
All right. Sabrina, what happened?
Oh, well, that other lunch story was way better than mine. I mean, my dad was giving me. He was giving me $20 a day because he thought I just ate a lot or something, but I didn't. And by the end of the week, because I would save my money, I would just, you know, have a bunch of money to go out with my friends. My story sucks. I'm sorry.
Oh, I love Sabrina more than anyone.
Who gives $20 a day to their kid for food? Were you, like, super fat? I mean, I'm sorry for asking, but how much did he think you needed to eat?
Well, he was in jail, so when he got out, he didn't know how much kids ate.
Way to go, Bean. Way to bring that up.
Everything just went south. All right.
I'd like to take back the last 10 minutes. Thank you, Sabrina. Hey, stand by for your passes for Six Flags Magic Mountain. We've got them for you all week here on the Kevin DeBean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock as well. You can also go to K-Rock.com for a chance to win them online as well. Give me that fight on song, would you please, from USC as we welcome the captain of the worst team in USC history, our friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570 Fox Sports Radio. P, it's been way too long since we talked to you.
Fight on, everybody. Good morning. How are you?
We are good.
We have missed you so much. Hey, the year that you were captain of the Trojans, was that the same year that Joel McHale was among those who won the Rose Bowl that year playing for the University of Washington?
No. What year did they win the Rose Bowl?
I thought it was 2000. Doesn't that sound about right?
So if it was the 2000 Rose Bowl, it might have been the 1999 season, right?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so it would have been 1 year before. But, yeah, it's around the same era when he was, what was he, like a walk-on tight end for UW?
Yeah, he plays it up like he scored all the touchdowns to win the game. But I think
how much he played, but I've seen a picture of him in his uniform, and that's more than I can say for most guys that run around and act like they played football in college.
So, P, is this are we at the point where you're a jaded sports professional now, and you're like not excited that the college football season is almost among us, or are you still like super jazzed and you can't wait to see how it all plays out?
Well, you know, I've come to the realization after all these years that if my head falls off on the way to the game, they're still going to kick it off.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
You know, If I die, they're still going to play.
Right.
And the world is going to keep on turning. So whether or not I'm excited or ready or care, it doesn't matter. I mean, they're still going
to
play.
I like to think, though, that if you did die on the way to the game, that as a tribute to you, the other Trojans would, like, rip off a nipple each just to kind of play for you.
Oh, they don't let me do SC games anymore. I piss them off way too much.
Really?
But maybe the Oregon State team will all simultaneously remove their nipples or something like that. I think the best I can hope for in that situation, guys, is like a fade to black after the second quarter. Here's Petros. He died on the way to the game. You know, he was a good broadcaster, sort of. Captain of the worst football team in SC history. Mouth breather. And then it fades to black. We'll be right back from Stanford.
All right. Let's broad strokes this. I don't think we need to get too deep into the weeds here. But what are the overall themes for the Southern California teams as we head into a new season?
Well, both of them have what should be true freshman quarterbacks. I think both of them are going to play true freshman quarterbacks. I don't know if that's ever happened with both teams. I know the last time USC started a true freshman quarterback was the year that Pete Carroll got run out of the Pac-12. That was 2009, and it was Matt Barkley.
Okay.
And UCLA's got a kid from Vegas named Dorian Thompson Robinson, DTR. So those are the two big storylines, really young quarterbacks. And obviously UCLA's a big mystery because Chip Kelly and what they're going to look like and what that practice is like. And they've been basically totally underground. Nobody knows anything about it.
They don't know
who's going to start. They have a game on Saturday.
They announced a bunch of suspensions. Does that mean anything, or is it just business as usual?
I mean, people, whenever somebody gets suspended in college football and they say team rule or broke a team rule or something like that or conduct unbecoming a Bruin or whatever, the answer is always reefer.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Smoking the reefer.
Okay, that's absurd.
That may or may not be true, but that's been my go-to since 95.
And what about that now as the laws change in California and across the country? At some point, is that going to be completely A-okay whether you smoke weed or not?
Well, it should be looked into because, I mean, if you're going to test football players for marijuana, and I'm not saying this is what the UCLA guys are suspended for. I'm just saying it's what everybody else gets suspended for every other time anybody ever gets suspended. But if they test you for steroids, you know, that's fine. I mean, those are drugs that will help you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if they test you for weed, well, shouldn't they test everybody on scholarship at the whole university, including the faculty, for weed?
Yes. I mean, if you're going to be fair, yeah. Well, it's not fair.
I mean, they should throw out.
Fair, but nobody's ever going to take it to court because nobody cares when you're done playing. And when you're playing, you can't say, like, hey, I want to smoke weed. I'm going to take the school to court. So it's kind of a conundrum.
Gotcha. All right. So the Pac-12, we have historically been a weak conference. Would you say that is fair? Certainly in recent years, there aren't a lot of champions that come out of the Pac-12.
It's
How about this year?
Conference of champions.
Is it, though?
But we're talking about football?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yes. Sadly, you're correct. But most football innovations in the last 30 or 40 years have come out of the West Coast in college. So,
And it certainly has helped with all those championships. I guess what my question is there any reason to be hopeful to suspect that this is the year that we won't see an Ohio State or an Alabama or somebody like that with the crown at the end?
You know, you're part right. I just want to do a little bit of explaining. When it comes to the Pac-12, we are weaker in a way, but we also don't coddle our teams. You know, USC lost a game last year at Washington State on a Friday night The SEC would never send Alabama somewhere in conference on a Friday night. People in the SEC and Big Ten don't play back-to-back road games. They schedule like weenies. We don't. Honestly, USC has never played a lower division school. UCLA has never played a lower division school. I think Washington just did maybe 2 years ago. So the Pac-12 schedules more bravely, and we don't coddle our teams the way they do in some other conferences. That being said, I think Washington is the bell cow for the conference this year, and if they have a chance to be in the playoffs, it's Washington.
Okay.
All right, and USC and UCLA with the true freshman quarterbacks, is that just totally up in the air? Because we have no idea how
USC,
they'll perform.
USC's always talented. But JT Daniels is the name of the quarterback. He's a good player.
Didn't
but
he leave
I worry
high school?
For his safety.
Didn't he leave high school early?
He did, but he's 19, so you know he was. They held him back, and then he left early. I don't know.
Okay,
he's of age. Arizona has a quarterback who's 19 years old, and he's a junior. So,
wow, how dumb was this USC kid? I mean, seriously, if you're in high school at 19.
It's football related.
Okay, understood.
His name's JT Daniels. He's fast. He's good. But can they protect him? Is the offense good enough without Sam Darnold back there to carry them through a season where they can be really successful? I think that's a huge question mark. And UCLA, I mean, nobody knows what they're going to look like. It's almost like Married by America, you know, and you just stand there and the curtain comes down and it's, you know, it's your spouse. Well, that's what UCLA football. But Chip Kelly, I really do have more faith in him as a coach and what he can do than any other coach I've ever seen in the history of the game up close.
Yeah, he has certainly had a lot of success. All right, so
yeah,
you'll be covering.
I wouldn't be surprised if UCLA doesn't hit the field blowing people's heads off and really expanding a lot of people's expectations.
Wow. Oh, that's fun. All right, so you're going to be actually doing a UCLA game in a couple of weeks, right?
In 3 weeks, and I'll come in.
Okay. Okay, that right. Sounds fun.
I'm booking myself.
That's fine. this weekend, P, where are you going to be?
On Friday night, I'll be at Stanford on the farm to call the Stanford versus San Diego State game, a West Coast run game bloodbath.
Okay. The mighty San Diego State. Can't
They're
wait.
Good, dude. They won like 10 or 11 games the last few years in a row. Don't be a hater.
Okay, that'll be on Fox Sports 1 if you want to see P all dressed up in a suit and whatnot. Hey, when you came on, I said this, and I sincerely meant it. I feel like because we haven't been doing The Bachelor and stuff like that, it's been like a million years since we've had you on The Kevin Amin Show, and we really, really miss you, P. So keep in touch and do come in a couple of weeks, all right?
I will. I'm also an expert on Jamaican political violence, if you guys want to do a segment or a weekly on that.
Yeah, we'll get back to you on that.
Okay, we'll make a note if that comes up. Petra's Somebody Radio. Radio show AM 570 Fox Sports. Look for him this afternoon from 2 till 6, along with our good friend Matt Money Smith. Thanks, P.
Love you.
Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 752.
Hey, Allie is here, and that means it's time for What's Happening.
I am here, and I appreciate that. So did you see Louis C.K. was trending last night on Twitter?
I did see that.
Did he do a like a pop-in at a comedy club or something? Is that what it was?
He did. He popped in at the Comedy Cellar and did a set. And a lot of people were thinking, hey, weren't you going to sit back and really think about things? And I believe his exact words were, I'm going to take time and listen for a long time.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's been almost 10 months. So, I mean, did a lot of listening, I guess.
That's a long time to be off of work, isn't it?
I was just going to say, if you're not doing anything, 10 months is a long time. But I don't know what's reasonable.
Yeah. Here's the thing. He was doing a surprise set at the Comedy Cellar, and people think, hey, maybe I should have been alerted to the fact that he was going to be doing a surprise set. People called into the Comedy Cellar yesterday and were like, I would have liked to have been given the opportunity to know if he was there.
To go or not go.
To go or not go. Depending. But it was like, you know, a lot of different comedy places have pop-ins, so big stars come in.
Yeah, I think they just call it the last second or show up.
Yeah. He did not address the subject of the five women who accused him of misconduct that he admitted to. Instead, focused on topics like racism, waitresses' tips, and parades.
Parades.
Parades. I'd like to hear that chunk.
Does it say if anyone in protest stood up and walked out when Louis C.K. came on stage?
There's so many different takes on this, and I don't know what's real and what's not. The New York Times says he was given an ovation before he even started. So he got up to the stage, and people just started cheering for him.
Okay.
Which is interesting. Then another story says that a woman did call him out from her seat. And then another story says somebody called the next day. So it's all a bit, you know, up in the air right now. It's interesting, though. I mean,
it's a bit of a surprise.
It's a bit of a surprise. And yes, he was let go from different shows. His movie never, you know, was aired at all. They pulled that. Mm-hmm. I believe FX said, hey, we're going to take some time away from you.
Right.
Pamela Adlon said, see ya. You're not writing on my show anymore. Better things. So there were repercussions with that. But the head of FX just a couple weeks ago said he'd be more than willing to welcome him back. So is it just a choice of, well, you either then get to pay for their art or not? Is that just
it's
what it boils
down to? It's up to the audience to whether they will accept him back or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I wonder about a lot of these people, especially since most of them, unfortunately, are not eligible for criminal proceedings, as they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the behavior was awful and sexist, but not illegal, too. Like, I don't know, I'm thinking about, like, Matt Lauer, for instance, as a person. I mean, do those people just never work again? Or is there a respectable amount of time that you can be gone and then all of a sudden all's forgiven because you paid a penance? I don't know. I don't think there's a clear-cut answer for every situation here.
Yeah, and I think these are very different times now, and it's water that we're just kind of treading in. What is the next step? What is too soon for a redemption tour?
How do you come back? And what do you say when you come back?
Absolutely.
There are some people like Harvey Weinstein, obviously, will never come back because he'll be in jail for the rest of his life, and he should be, you know? I mean, he's on one end. But on the other end of that scale is somebody like Aziz Ansari, who you could argue that he behaved like an asshole, but he was just an overly aggressive dater, too. You know, you could make the argument there that he's not on the same playing field as somebody like Louis C.K.
Right.
So there's a lot of shades of gray in this story for sure.
There are. I know that I wouldn't pay to see Louis C.K. again for sure. And I was a huge fan. I thought he was very funny. I love the writing he did. I loved his TV shows. But
you would never?
Just,
never.
No.
Okay.
Not interested. No. And it concerns me how many people just roll over for these people. Like, oh, he served his time. Did he go and do talks about the power struggle that he put with these women in? Did he go and spend any time with victims? Did he do any sort of apology tour? No, he put out a statement, and then his manager denied it all happened, and then he threatened people. And then he wound up a month later going, just kidding, all that did happen, and I was wrong, and that was my male privilege. Like, at what point do we just say, enough? I don't think there isn't enough, because they keep getting these second chances.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do about that.
Well, I mean, as a consumer, I certainly understand the position of that person is dead to me forever. I do understand that.
Yeah. What's the line, too?
Exactly. So,
again, I think it's how they handled themselves afterwards. Like you were just saying, all the things Louis C.K. could have been doing during this time. That's important.
Yeah.
That plays into it.
Yeah.
How does he come back? What does he say when he comes back? I think that's important for all of them. Because everything's a different situation than all the other ones.
Absolutely. Yeah. There are different levels for sure. But I think that for some reason, it's just this, like, snap judgment with a lot of people. Like, everyone deserves to work. Well, yeah, everyone deserves to work, but should he be on my TV? Should he be in a club that I want to go see other people at? Why do I now have to change up my viewing habits or my club habits? Because he deserves redemption. He could work another job.
Probably not.
Like a McDonald's?
Like a model.
He doesn't really seem qualified.
Yeah.
Like a model.
I hate to bring it up again.
Mm-hmm.
40 plus years in the public eye. Never a whiff of scandal for Weird Al. I'd just like to say he's the best person in the world.
Okay.
I wouldn't have brought him up in this conversation.
I feel like just, that was a hard left.
We, yeah. I'm just saying,
we were going one direction.
We named a lot of people who have some splaining to do. Thank God there's still Weird Al out there who doesn't get involved in this nonsense. That's yeah. what I'm saying.
I do find it interesting, though, how many in Hollywood, per se, that are just so woke on Twitter and they're just doing interviews and sexual harassment's awful and I just can't believe people do this. I have to have a conversation with my daughter about sexual harassment until it's someone they know. And then it's, I mean, let's give them a break. Let's hear how they handle it. You can't do both. It's just, it's so hypocritical. And that's something that rubs me the wrong way. Michael Ian Black, if you're listening right now, bad move, dude. Bad move on Twitter. It's just, sometimes it's okay not to say anything, too.
Yeah.
A lot of people forget that. But maybe stop sticking up for your friends when it's convenient for you and then go after someone else that you don't know. It's, I don't know.
I feel like that was a very targeted remark.
Oh, no, it was targeted at Michael Ian Black because just check out his Twitter. It's insane. One right now.
I feel like maybe a phone call.
No, I'm saying it's a lot of Hollywood. It's a lot of people that we know. It's a lot of people. They just, if it's someone you know, it makes it different. And granted, it does. But you can't do blanket statements about sexual harassment and then pick and choose who gets redemption when others don't. Mm-hmm. I say F them all. Who's with me? No? All right.
That's what got some of these people into the trouble.
Just saying. I did enjoy some woman on Twitter said, oh, so it was just like a sneak appearance. It was non-consensual, just showed up. Nobody had a choice. That's kind of his thing. I was like, yeah, That is Louis C.K. I'm just going to say right now, better things. If you rehire him to write.
I'm not again, sure Pamela Adlon wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't think she would either. Fingers crossed. Some birthdays for you. Jennifer Coolidge, Armie Hammer, Florence Welch, and someone who I think is a wonderful man, just has a poop problem.
Hmm.
Jack Black.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening.
The president is on the phone. Enrique?
hold on a second. We just got to get the president of Mexico on the phone here. Just take a second.
Okay. I didn't realize we were doing that.
You can hook him up. Mm-hmm. You tell me when.
Just try to get him on the speakerphone here. Just stand by.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
It's a big thing. A lot of people waiting.
Yep, a lot of people are waiting. We just get this thing hooked up. We can have a conversation.
How many Hello? Pictures do these guys need of this?
I don't know. It's just a guy at a desk with a phone.
Right.
You want to put that on this phone, please?
By the way,
Hello?
This is every person ever tried to set up a speakerphone.
Oh, agreed.
Ever.
Be helpful.
It would be very helpful. I think you're right about the photos, Kevin.
Right? How many? I mean, they got 1,000 of this one.
President yeah.
Trump. Oh, wait, here he comes.
Thank you.
Oh, there we go.
All right.
Kevin, I know you don't watch the news. I can't remember why. Why is it you don't watch the news?
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
That's right. But tell me you saw the mashups yesterday of that with the Veep theme and that with the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme.
I did
theme.
Not. I
oh, my it. Gosh.
Love
it's
it.
It's great. And it's no fault of the president's. Like I said, that's everybody ever trying to set up a speakerphone call. It just is almost impossible. You're just sitting there just waiting for anyone to help.
It is something that we do a lot as a society, and none of us can do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is odd.
I mean, even our boss, how many meetings have we been in where they've tried to thread somebody else into the call?
Yeah, we always gamble on it. Is he going to be able to do it? Nope.
Or are we going to lose everybody?
Right.
Everybody on the line.
It's not a possible thing to do.
No.
And I don't know why.
Stop trying it. And then I saw the guy who runs, you know, from out of frame, the geek. No offense, IT guys, but, you know, you're the smartest people in the room when it comes to this sort of technology. And a guy runs over and figures out a way to make it happen. But, you know, thank God for those people.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right? So
imagine that guy for the president. What pressure.
Yeah.
How many has he gone through?
Of those people?
Yeah.
One a day?
Yeah.
Because no one can do it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, you know you've got another world leader on the line who's also sitting there going,
right.
What the F?
Can somebody help me?
Try to make a phone call
He's
here.
He's saying on his end.
Right, can somebody help me? All right, I need to throw myself under the bus right now.
Oh, all right.
We've all experienced a great deal of shame in recent days. Really, this week has been the most embarrassing week for the Kevin and Bean Show in a long time, I can think. Dave, for instance, he watched the Logan Paul boxing match on YouTube.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, he told us that, secret time.
By the way, it's only Monday. Yesterday was only Monday.
Yeah, I'm concerned.
Right. We found out yesterday that Ali had no idea what a television antenna looked like.
Wow.
And that was a shameful moment.
I'm embarrassed.
That's what I'm saying. Dave was embarrassed.
Okay. Right. Okay.
You were embarrassed?
I get it.
Kevin yesterday had to hear what we hear all the time, which is him do an interview when we played back the tape of his questions to Matthew Perry and Lisa Kudrow.
Mm-hmm.
And as you heard those, Kevin, I'm sure there was shame.
Of course.
You thought,
especially Lisa Kudrow. I don't know why she was still on the phone.
Yeah, right.
If I'm her, I'm like, I'm only hearing half the words. I'm going to hang up and redial. Where's that guy? Can help me.
You heard that interview and you thought, how am I allowed to talk to stars?
Correct.
Because that question.
What'd you do?
I've
just come out with it.
Yeah, huh? use your words, Bean.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
It's just easier if I just say it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, I have an update on the the smoke detector.
Okay.
It's still doing that. Funniest thing ever. I was in New Orleans. You know, I'm in New Orleans most of the time, and about half the time in the summer because my wife won't be here because it's too hot. Okay, we talked about that. So I was here for, I don't know, two or 3 weeks, I can't remember, last month.
Yep.
And it was chirping all. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The entire time I was here, every 20 seconds, 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And we talked about all the steps that I went through with the reset button and with changing the battery. And, you know, somebody suggested you got to, you got to take it off. You got to hold it down and, like, really, you know, wind it down, get everything, make it completely dead, and then set it back up. And then people said, you got to turn the power off at the breaker. So I tried all of those things, okay? And then I thought, well, thank God I'm going back to Seattle to visit the wife. So I was gone for 2 weeks. And Kevin, you have been doing nothing but looking forward to me coming back to New Orleans.
Because I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah. So Saturday I walked into the house and the first thing I heard and I thought, oh, my God, I'm back in hell.
Wow, because it's so weird it didn't fix itself while you were gone.
I know.
Usually
right?
You just give them enough space.
Yeah.
They'll fix themselves.
Especially since it's, you know, like all modern smoke detectors, it's hardwired. So the battery is really just the backup, okay?
Right.
But it does chirp to let you know that the battery needs to be changed.
Right.
So I call the alarm company. I sat through it all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And when I go to bed at night, you know, it's chirping all night when it's already quiet. And I close all the doors to the bedroom and I listen to some music as I try to go to sleep because I just don't want to hear it anymore. And it has gotten to the part where it's starting to drive me crazy. So I called the alarm company yesterday and I said, I got this error code number 25. Is there anything you guys, do you have some sort of a hookup with a, you know, installation people or with a repair? I don't know if this is part of the alarm system because it's smoke detector, but is there anything you can do to help? And he says, well, number 25, I'm looking at it right here and it just says it's low battery. And I said, I know that's what it says, but I've changed the battery twice and I'm telling you, it's still chirping. So I set up an appointment to come out today. The guy's coming out today, okay?
Why didn't you do this day two?
That's a good question. So yesterday, I'm out at the Walgreens. Allie, following your lead in great news yesterday, buying a postcard for our little Aspen to send to in Oklahoma, the little
sure.
girl with leukemia.
Yeah.
And I thought, hey, while I'm here, what's the downside in buying another 9-volt battery? Because I'm already at the drugstore and I'm going home. Why don't I get another 9-volt battery?
I mean, just in case. Those batteries do sit around a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes they're bad when you buy
Sometimes
them.
Sometimes they're bad. But I had put in two batteries that
right.
were right out of the packages.
But what are the chances? But you're there, so why not?
Why not? So I bought a 9-volt battery, and I came home, and I walked immediately upstairs to the smoke detector, and I put it in, and the goddamn thing went quiet. Nothing wrong with a smoke detector. For a month and a half, all it needed was a new battery.
Yeah. Bean, remember when I said, what if...
Shut up, Allie.
Okay. All right.
You're a fool.
You're an idiot.
I mean, come on.
I mean, I don't know what antenna looks like, right? But whatever. I said, put the battery to your tongue. See if there's any juice in it. Why would I do that? No one does that. That's not how you test batteries. You idiot.
You're an idiot.
Damn it.
You're a full-on idiot.
Look, I can't deny that because it's true because I suffered... I was tortured.
Yeah.
Tortured. Mm-hmm. I was going insane from hearing this thing every 20 seconds.
Idiot.
Kevin said, just sell the house. He said,
yeah, I mean, you got to move.
There's no coming back. You just have to move. So I put the new battery in, and then I had to call the alarm company back and go, hey, that appointment I set up an hour.
Unbelievable.
Is there any way I can just cancel?
All right, now let me ask you about this. So the first time you changed the batteries, you put in an existing battery that you had bought.
That's right.
Okay, so then you thought, what if that battery's bad? Where did you get the next battery that you replaced?
Next battery was in the cabinet in the kitchen.
Still in the cabinet, though.
See?
Tools and stuff, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean...
But not a store.
But no battery in this house can be more than 2.5 years old, because that's when I bought the house. So, and those batteries are supposed to last a lot longer than that.
Yeah, but they go bad. They really do go bad way more than they should.
Apparently so. Apparently I have learned that lesson. So.
I feel like there is an upside, though.
Oh, because please tell me. I need something.
Did you not have a nice conversation with your alarm people? You now know that they're responsive. That's a new relationship. Number one.
That's what Bean wants, is more relationships.
Number two, you bought a can of air compressor, correct?
Yes, that was one of the. I forgot about that. That's one of the things I tried to try to blow it out in case there was just dust on the lens, and that's why it was chirping. Right?
Now you've got a can of air
for
to clean his computer, whatever he needs it for. He doesn't
huffing.
Have to worry about
sure,
that.
Sure, huffing. Okay.
Number three.
Okay, you're stretching, but okay.
I am number three.
God, you're dumb.
That. But you're now going to have the best sleep of your life because there's no problem in the house anymore.
But don't you think when he crawls in bed today or tonight, he's going to think, how sure is quiet?
Yeah.
That sure did go on for 3 weeks, not counting the time I was gone.
Right.
And it was just a battery.
Yeah, he's a complete idiot, and everything I said is just to make him feel better, but he shouldn't. He should feel shame.
Nice try. Ma'am, your thoughts?
Oh, Jesus, Bean.
Okay. Right. So there you go. So now we've all had, you're right, it's only Tuesday, but we've all had an embarrassing and shameful week.
You're a miracle.
That's unreal.
We're all miracles.
I know.
Yeah.
It's incredible that we're able to get dressed and get to work in the morning and do a radio show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:42.
I'm just saying that's a cover song, and I'm just saying that National Cover Song Day is coming up this weekend, so maybe we ought to do something special with that.
All right. Okay.
I'm just saying let's put that in your pipe and smoke it. Is that how it goes? You put it in your pipe and you smoke it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll discuss that another time. Our friend Jim Jeffries on the TV making an impact. By the way, I think he has come up with something that is very popular, Kevin. He has come out against the policy that is so common here in this country of tipping.
Yeah, he's so funny about everything that he talks about. And here, we don't have time, unfortunately, to do a phone topic and have people call in because we know everybody has opinions on this. We'll do this tomorrow. But this is Jim Jeffries talking about the practice of tipping.
For our international viewers, here's how tipping works in the U.S. Bartenders, $1 a drink. Restaurant servers, 15% at the bare minimum. Strippers get $1 a dance unless it's Tuesday morning. And Kathy's on the main stage and she just dropped the kids off at school. In that case, I tip a little extra. That woman's got a family. And then for everyone else, who knows? There's no logic to it. You don't tip a bus driver, but you do if that bus is taking you from the airport to your car. You tip a hairstylist who makes your hair look nice, but not your dentist who does the same thing but for a different bit of your head. Tip, not tip. And let me say it again, I do tip generously. Many people have said so, mostly after I tip them. But you should know that when I'm doing it, I think it's bullshit I begrudge every second of it.
That's nice to know. Every single time he tips, he begrudges it.
Right.
Yeah.
At the end of every meal, I have to conduct an impromptu employee evaluation. Like, well, you brought me the water and you had good communication skills, and then you drew a competent yet wonky smiley face on the check. So, I'm going to give you 20%. Does that sound fair? And the server says, sounds like you're a famous person who has his own TV show and I have access to Twitter. And then I say, good point. Let's make it 50.
It must be really hard for celebrities, though.
Absolutely. Oh, sure.
I mean, they have to tip more than the average person because of that reason. Absolutely. Specifically.
Yeah, no kidding. That guy could not get to his phone fast enough if Jim Jeffrey stiffed him on a tip. And by the way, I agree with everything he's saying. This is my problem with tipping. Not that people don't deserve a little something-something for extra good service, but it's so inconsistent and so unfair. And let the employers pay salaries.
He continues.
The unspoken agreement is that the tip amount should relate to the level of service, but that's not really true. Studies show that men tip more than women, boomers tip more than millennials, and Republicans tip better than Democrats. Democrats will pay extra for a cage-free, grass-fed, free-range, vegan, organic, gluten-free chai burger, and then not give a fuck about the person who brought it to them. And that discrimination goes both ways. People leave bigger tips for a more attractive service. Not me, though. As far as I'm concerned, beautiful people already have it too easy. I prefer to give me big tips to the uglies of the world. They appreciate it more. You see their beady little eyes swell up in tears, and then they try to mouth words of appreciation, like, I'm so happy. I'm not paying attention. I'm distracted by their wobbly necks. They're disgusting.
Well, tomorrow, we have to talk about this because I know, even as it's easy for me to say, just pay a decent salary, that there are a lot of people who run particularly small businesses who say, I can't afford to pay what servers, for instance, in restaurants need to live on. Mm-hmm. I need those tips to make it up,
but
you know, to
they?
Those employees so I that they have the opportunity to
don't.
Work here.
I think some do and some don't.
Oh, yeah. I agree. It would be interesting to hear from the people who depend on those tips, though, how they feel about it. If there is, I mean, look, I'm sure this has been talked about many times on and off over the years. I'm sure there are certainly restaurants, as an example, that have come up with a no tipping policy. Some have been successful with it, some have not. So I don't know what the answer is, but I think I'm with Jim.
More on this tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean.
Hey, I know.
Bean, I'm afraid that we've lost Allie.
When my Nana had Alzheimer's.
No, you are not right now.
And I used to visit her.
Right.
And try to have a conversation with her.
Mm-hmm.
Very reminiscent of this last 5 minutes trying to talk to Allie. Just to try to keep her focused, try to keep her on the same topic.
I don't think she can hear us, Bean.
I don't think she can hear herself. Because she wouldn't be saying all these things. I thought yesterday was your low point. Today makes yesterday like you look like you were super sharp.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
What's happening? And Allie, you know Jack Ryan's not a real person, right?
Here's
character from a book. You know that, right?
That's what confused me so much. So my school, Boston College, just tweeted hashtag Jack Ryan, just another BC alum saving the world. So I'm like, did John Pruszynski go to BC? So I'm trying to figure it out. No.
Now, I'd just like to point out at this point, none of us care.
No.
Right. And there's no reason for you to drag our poor listening audience who's already suffered so much into this circle of hell.
All right. Turns out the character Jack Ryan went to Boston College.
Okay. Not a real person.
Okay. All right.
Well, it is fiction.
All right.
Okay.
Just saying, he went to BC.
Right. Okay. Congrats.
You know what I'm just saying?
I want you in a grave.
Harsh, but fair.
All right, what's happening?
Ethan Hawke. Wow.
Guilty.
Well, no. Oh. Here's the thing. In an interview with the Film Stage, just ahead of his Lifetime Achievement Award at the Locarno Film Festival.
Oh, the big one.
Right. Hawke explained the difference between a good movie and a good superhero movie.
Okay.
Here's what he said. Now we have the problem that they tell us Logan is a great movie. Well, it's a great superhero movie. It still involves people in tights with metal coming out of their hands. It's not Bresson. It's not Bergman. But they talk about it like it is. I went to see Logan because everyone was like, this is a great movie. And I was like, really? No, this is a fine superhero movie. There's a difference. But big business doesn't think there's a difference. Big business wants you to think that this is a great film because they want to make money off of it.
But you're wrong.
Isn't that the point of every movie? They want to make money off of it, Ethan.
Of course. And isn't it just possible to say, hey, those movies aren't for me.
Sure.
I don't enjoy those
movies.
Sure. By the way, even objectively, Logan is a good movie.
Absolutely.
Even objectively. And that's like saying there can't be a good documentary. That's not a real movie. There can't be a good animated movie. That's not a real movie. That's insane to put a genre on what can be a good movie and what can't.
Like, it's a totally different thing for him that he can't wrap his head around it. How
that's
are people
odd.
Telling
well, you're telling
me?
Your opinion, but you're so wrong.
It's just odd, right? I mean, this is an opinion that a lot of people will think is wrong, but I believe it to be true. Boyhood blows. That movie sucked, right?
I think it was more of a novelty than it was a great
movie.
But it wasn't a terrible movie. It's just not much happened.
Sucked.
Just saying. See, like, that's what we're up against here. It's just personal taste, guys.
But I'm really surprised by Ethan Hawke, who's such a film student and such an accomplished director and writer and actor. I'm really surprised that he would have such a narrow view of what's acceptable.
Yeah, or is it just, does it make perfect sense because he's a bit of a film snob?
Yeah, I mean, apparently so.
Yeah.
You know, he's been nominated for 4 Academy Awards for his acting.
Was he?
I did not know that.
Was he offered one for Boyhood? Which blows.
I think he was. I think he was that.
Oh man! Well, isn't this cool? We're gonna watch him grow up. We filmed this over this many years. Still
by the
sucked.
Way, Christine is seething in the other room. She loved Boyhood. It was her favorite movie of that year.
Oh, for God's sake!
She would like to wrestle you in the parking lot after the show.
I believe you just wrote that.
I did make that up. I would like you to wrestle Christine after this.
All right, good stuff. And we heard yesterday about the guy that rushed the stage at the On the Run 2 tour. Of course, that's Jay-Z and Beyonce. We were told yesterday that he was initially issued a citation for disorderly conduct and released.
Right.
Well, it turns out, no, he's currently being charged with simple battery. I thought that was odd that they'd just be like, here's a little citation. Be on your way.
That is strange.
Well, he didn't hurt anybody.
But do we know that?
And he still rushed a stage.
Yeah, but he didn't hurt anybody. What else could you charge him with besides simple battery and
interfering with dancing?
Interfering with the kickball change because dance is life, right, Kevin?
Right.
I'm just saying. It's all very odd. Disturbing the peace, maybe?
Sure.
The piece of art I'm watching. I am. I'm going to wrap this up.
You've become my Nana. That's a terribly sad transformation. Yesterday, you were a young, vibrant woman. Today, you're in a home.
Clearly, you have been damaged somehow, some way, along the way, psychologically.
Yes.
That's true.
All right. Some birthdays for you. Jason Priestley, Jack Black, Jennifer Coolidge, Armie Hammer, Florence Welch, and Shania Twain. And that's what's happened.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39. Just before we do what's happening, let's give away a pair of one-day tickets to the Lucas Oil Off-Road Expo at the Pomona. I'm going to start that over. A pair of one-day tickets to the Lucas Oil Off-Road Expo at the Pomona Fairplex.
Mm-hmm.
That made a lot more sense.
Sure.
It's happening September 29th through September 30th. We will take the first caller right now, 1-800-520-1067, and you will win those tickets.
Nobody stop him. Let him keep going.
Ellie's here. What's happening?
Bean loves Weird Al.
Everyone loves Weird Al.
Some too much. Might say too much.
Right.
It's impossible to love. There's, however amount of love I give to Weird Al is not as much as he deserves.
And I will say this about Weird Al. Everybody that has been even in the most minimal contact with the man speaks volumes, just raves about him. He truly is just a beloved man.
Yeah.
Go on.
Which is odd for Bean because you usually put people on a pedestal that don't deserve to be there. But I think I'm going to allow you this one, Bean. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing for you to poo-poo about Weird Al.
No.
You can't point to anything and go, yeah, but what about?
Yeah, there isn't.
Okay.
I appreciate it. So kudos you, finally. But he has sold more than 12 million albums as of 2007. And he, well, he received 4 Grammy Awards along with 11 more nominations on top of those. He won the Grammy for Best Comedy Album in 2015. He's had 4 gold records, 6 platinum records in the U.S. And again, beloved. I mentioned it a few hours ago. Amazing curls. I don't understand how they look so good, so defined, yet not heavy. It's not like they're wearing them down. That is a gift. That hair is a gift. Why am I bringing all this up?
I'm not positive.
Because he got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame
yesterday. The hair thing, though, is still odd.
I'm just saying, a lot of people with curly hair will understand that. Like, sometimes it just, the curls aren't as defined. They could look frizzy, but sometimes they just look heavy.
But he's
By the way, what about his skin regimen? The man is nearly 60.
Yeah, skin looks
great. He looks fantastic.
And can we discuss his wife, Suzanne?
Sure. Yeah.
She has.
She's lovely also.
She has, first of all, a bob. I know this is getting way
What's happening right now?
But she's got this bob of some of the most gorgeous gray hair. You rarely see a beautiful head of gray hair in a stylish cut like that.
I'm really happy for her.
She's a
what else you got?
Gorgeous woman.
And who has a better collection of Hawaiian shirts than Weird Al?
Right?
Plus those shoes.
Oh. Guys wearing Vans? Are you kidding me? No one's
He's
better at it.
Adorable. He got his well-deserved star, and he had this to say about how they should be taking care of it.
Please, please don't pickaxe my star, okay, guys? I mean, I know it's all the rage these days, but that's not cool. Just, you know, that's rude. Just please don't do that. Unless at some point in the future I do something unfathomably monstrous and evil, in which case, sure, fine, okay, go ahead. Makes sense. But anything short of that, please limit yourself to spitting and urinating, okay? Have some class, people.
I mean, that would be the respectful thing to do, is only spit and urinate on
I like that spitting and urinating is having class.
At this point, it kind of is. Oh, goodness. This is my favorite story of today. John Goodman opened up about his co-star Roseanne Barr and how depressed he got about the cancellation of the show. He talks about just being completely brokenhearted about it, how he reached out to her when she gave up all the rights to the spinoff show, The Conners, and how it was going to proceed without her. But the reason it's my favorite story is because ABC is playing it so close to the vest about how they're going to tell the story of why Roseanne is no longer a part of the show. Is she going to be dead? Is she going to run away? Is she going to move? Like, there's no one that knows this because...
Divorce, rehab, there's a lot of different plot points.
Absolutely. And they are not letting scripts out. They are telling people to be really quiet about this. Nobody knows what's happening.
Okay.
And then here's what happened in this interview. Since ABC has remained so mum about this, Goodman does have an idea. He told The Times what he pictures his character doing in the show.
Okay.
This is his quote. It's an unknown. I guess he'll be real mopey and sad because his wife's dead. What? John Goodman!
Would you like to take that back?
Magic.
So everyone's been keeping it a secret.
Yes.
And then he says that his character is going to be very brokenhearted because she's dead.
She's dead. Okay. He'll just be mopey and stuff because she's dead.
Oh, that's right.
That's funny.
Or could this be the best troll ever? Because that's not what happens. Who knows? Either way, I just love it. I just love him thinking he's sitting down to do an interview with the Sunday Times. And then he lets that go.
That is funny.
It's just good stuff.
Bong, bong.
Bong, bong, indeed. And we've been talking about how it's pumpkin spice latte day. It's back at Starbucks. People are really enjoying that.
Is your feed already being flooded with images of people who have already gone out to Starbucks to get their pumpkin spice latte?
Well, thank you for asking. Eric Goldman tweeted not only the picture of his latte, but also of what appears to be a lovely pumpkin scone.
Oh.
So he says the pumpkining has started.
You see that? You see that? You see how white people do?
He is white.
Mm.
He is indeed white. So I mean, it's happening, you guys. You can only wish to contain the pumpkin spice latte.
I mean, it is odd in late August, but okay.
Yes.
It's not even September yet.
It is not.
Okay.
It is not.
It's still in the 90s, a lot of places in this country, you guys.
Oh, yeah. They are having a heat wave move on in to the East Coast. So you think that's going to stop people from getting that drink?
I'm guessing not.
No.
You get any feedback from your complaint about the sweaty pie yesterday, Allie?
No, because I've discussed this for years. Pumpkin pie is disgusting.
It's great.
Because people feel that it's okay just to have a pie sitting there with little droplets of sweat in the middle.
It's that's not sweat,
disgusting.
Though. It's
you're eating sweaty pie. What's
There's
wrong with
There's a lot
of
foods
people?
That have moisture on them. If you have a steak, it has moisture on it.
Yeah, it's not beads of sweat.
Like it's a, not, I'm telling you, it's not sweating. The pumpkin
what does
pie,
it mean?
Nothing in a pumpkin
what is it
pie
then?
Has sweat glands.
Well, what is it then? Because
look,
there are drops of something on it.
Thank you.
I don't know what it is, but you know that it's not sweat.
But what is it then?
What is it? If it's not sweat, what are those droplets?
It's some sort of condensation, perhaps.
Of sweat. I'm just saying, pumpkin pie is disgusting, and I'll
How
never
How about pumpkin
give that
bread?
Up.
How do you feel about pumpkin bread?
Does Love banana it. Bread still exist?
Sure.
Yeah.
How do you feel about pumpkin beer?
No.
No?
No, it's sweet. It shouldn't be sweet. Pumpkin is fine in a candle. Let me smell your candle.
Are we still talking about
I'm not sure.
Pumpkin?
I'm not okay. sure. So I've been your Nana today, Bean.
Hey, I don't want to... Look, show
Here
is a disaster
go.
Today anyway, so I might as well.
Might as well.
Pecan pie has whatever pumpkin pie has on it. Pecan pie also has on it. It's something in the pie baking process. Do you have any problem with pecan pie?
I've never noticed a sweaty pecan pie.
Yeah, it's got the same thing on top of it.
No, it doesn't. No
sweaty
nuts.
It does. It absolutely does.
It doesn't have sweat.
No sweaty
It's just
nuts.
That it doesn't have a shiny reflective surface like the pumpkin pie does because the top of the pecan pie has pecans on it.
It's a trick of the eye.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
All right, Bean.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, we're going to wrap this up.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
There's been no target today.
Correct.
Whew. Happy birthday, Armie Hammer, Florence Welch, Shania Twain, Jennifer Coolidge, Jason Priestley, and Jack Black. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda Dealer. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin DeBean Show, Animal Stories. This time we mean it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, we're having a problem with our email with the reply all.
Oh, jeez. It's so bad.
How is anyone in the company able to reply all? I thought that was only for management.
Yeah, this is a new thing. Like, somebody let the safeguard off.
Uh-huh.
It's bad.
I need to do it again.
People are taking advantage of it.
Because the last time it got outlawed is because I was saying things that I thought were funny.
Right.
So, like somebody, the head engineer, would send out an email saying, hey, everybody, the fire alarm's going to go off at 10:15, but don't worry about it because it's just a fire alarm.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. We're just testing it.
Right.
And then I would say, reply all, and I would say, hey, everybody, just want to let you know I'm going to light a real fire at 10:14. Just to be funny. And then they came to me and they said, you can no longer do reply all. So apparently they've forgotten about that and they're allowing it again. And also tomorrow morning, we've got more tickets for Six Flags Magic Mountain on the Kevin and Bean Show.